Morning, TBC. I have really wrestled with this topic and gone round and round in circles of which angle should I come at this from, and rewritten different theologies and different definitions of holiness, and then getting to a point last night of just feeling defeated. And I had over 5,000 words on the page, and no matter what way I looked at it, they were just not coming to a point where I feel like I could speak them with conviction. I'm like, why, Lord? Why? Why is this topic of holiness so difficult? Why? You know, why can I not bring these words together when normally they flow so easily? Why? Why is there not an understanding and a conviction that can rise up, a breakthrough moment, so I can bring all these words on the page that are already here? Lord, why? Why, Lord? So that what, Lord? So that I am the source of all understanding. And in this moment of just crying out to him, he met me in that moment of desperation, and that brought a breakthrough for me in even this preparation. To truly understand holiness, to understand our God who is holy, to understand that we are called to be holy, can only come from the Lord. It is only when we actually have an encounter with a holy God, when he reveals who he is and exposes our lack of holiness, and we come face to face with that contrast, that holiness truly takes on meaning. We can articulate a really neat and tidy theology to explain the importance of holiness and to talk about the attributes of our holy God, but it is only when we are coming into contact with our Lord that he can bring understanding of who he is and who we are and why we so desperately need him. Another thing that highlights the desperation for the Lord is needing to speak on holiness. That takes you to that place of fresh where you're like, oh Lord, I need you. You know, talk about a topic that gets to the very core of the gospel, that God is holy, we are not. That is why we so desperately need a Savior. That is the core of why we gather and why we proclaim the name of Jesus, is because he's holy and we're not. But it's not just the words in a book and a theology. It has to become an experience where we become convicted of our depravity, of our sinfulness, of who we truly are and who he truly is. And we must come into that encounter. For all of us, we must seek him, come to him, experience coming to a holy God, experience the exposure of the true condition of our hearts in his presence, which then mobilizes a desire for holiness because we've become so aware of who he is and who we are. Amen. It is in that place of encounter that only the Lord can truly bring understanding to holiness. And that is what happened for Isaiah that we just read about. He had an encounter, a revelation of the holiness of God. And he was exposed in the light of the Lord. And he's like, woe to me. I am ruined. He became so aware of his lack of holiness as he's in the presence of his holy God. And in that moment and in that realization and in that revelation of God's holiness and his lack of holiness, then God was able to heal his sin, to remove his guilt, and then send him to do the work. Amen? It's in that place of encounter with our holy God the things that we are going to talk about today and the things that we're going to talk about in the weeks ahead can only take on true meaning. Otherwise, we have a neat theology. We're talking about abstract concepts until it becomes personal to you. Holiness can be talked about, but it must be encountered to be fully understood. Our lack of holiness can be talked about, but we must experience the uncomfortable nature of his exposure to truly understand that. And so today we are going to spend some time talking very briefly about holiness, because the word of God is true, and it prepares our hearts. It becomes a stepping stone into the presence of God. It sows seeds that burst forth into a life of fullness and into a holy life. So we are going to talk about it. And in the weeks ahead, this is the first of a four-part series. We have the blessing of doing this for 4 weeks. And next week we have Murray Long, who's going to continue talking about holiness, talking about the habits that we practice. After that, we have Toby and Irina, who are going to be sharing together about the community that we're part of. And then we're going to wrap it up. Caleb's going to be sharing about the Holy Spirit that dwells in us. It's a journey of understanding holiness. And we have the blessing of the people in this community who the Lord has mobilized at this time to do this journey together. But the only way we will truly understand it over the next few weeks is if we come into his presence and encounter who he is, so that the truths we're talking about become a truth that we have experienced. Amen. Lord, I pray. I acknowledge my great need for you. I acknowledge that you are Lord, and it is only in you that we can understand and know holiness, that we can even entertain the idea of being holy, because you and you alone are holy, Lord. Amen. So we jump to the other scripture that we were reading there in 1 Peter, which is this amazing line in there that we're going to start with today. And it says, be holy because I am holy. Be holy. Now, holy is a slightly abstract term in some respects. What does it even mean? So be holy means to be set apart, to be distinct. At times it means pure. So be holy because I am holy. Be set apart because I am set apart. Be distinct because I am distinct. Be pure because I am pure. And the scriptures actually go through and talk about different aspects of our life that needs to be holy. Aspects and behaviors and thinking that needs to be set apart. God is set apart. He is different to the world that we're living in. He calls us to be holy. He therefore calls us to be different to the world that we're living in. The journey of being holy is actually embracing a journey of being different to the world around us. We will be set apart. We will stand out. And the scriptures talk about these things. Let's read a couple of them. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Flesh, I suppose, is just another, it becomes another scriptural metaphor for talking about the acts of the flesh that's not of God, rather than the acts of the Spirit. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions and envy, drunkenness, orgies and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. So there's a whole list there, and some of those words you may not even understand, but you start to capture this picture that the scriptures do call us out and start to shine a light on our behaviors and the behaviors that are not holy, that are not of God. And it goes more than that. You may be familiar with the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus actually talks a lot about these things as well. And at one point, he starts to identify the fact that our behaviors in sin doesn't just start in the action. It actually starts in the heart. And so the journey towards holiness is not just about the external things that overflow in terms of our action and words. It actually starts in our heart with our desires. That's where sin begins. Let's read together. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so Jesus started to talk about the fact that the law is trying to lead people into this place of holiness, but the sin starts way before it becomes visible within the heart. And who searches the hearts of men and women? No one but our Lord. Holiness is not just in our actions, in our words. It starts within us. But it goes more than that. In Romans, again, these scriptures are so familiar. They're part of our inheritance as the body of Christ. And so we hear them and it's like, oh, I know that. But sometimes there needs to be almost a refreshing as we revisit them again. And the Lord makes them really personal to us. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. At times, it's easy to think that we can box holiness and being set apart. This scripture takes us to this place. It's your whole life. All of who you are. It's not just the words and the actions. It's not even just the desires on the inside. There's not a part of our life that should not be set apart, that should not be distinct, that should not be different. Holiness, be holy, is all of who we are. Our entire life, 24/7, through the day, through the week, is different, is called to be in God's ways. The scriptures do not give us permission to box it, do they? It has to take over everything. However, the risk is, and it's a risk we've all encountered, it's a risk I've encountered, is that we start to create this list of sins and do this and don't do this. And so we start very quickly to view holiness through a narrow lens. And we start to go, okay, as long as I don't do this, this, and this, I'm going to be walking this holy life. And it's like, well, why do we do that? And it doesn't actually take long for us to then turn the New Testament scriptures into a New Testament law book. And it's like, well, we're actually starting to take kingdom principles and the things that we've been taught, and then we start to try and outwork it in our own strength. And why do we do that? You know, we know that Jesus has fulfilled the law and the prophets. Why are we then trying to, in our own strength, to kind of do this? And there's this really, really helpful moment in the scriptures where Jesus is actually talking with the religious leaders, and he says this to them. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. He is standing there with them. He's saying, these scriptures talk about me, yet you refuse to come to receive the life that the scriptures have been preparing you for. And in the same way, we can get caught up in that today, where Jesus is with us. He's alive. He's here by his Spirit. And we can try to outwork the scriptures in our own strength and not come to Jesus to have life. We can reach that point of having lists that we're trying to follow rather than coming into that encounter with the Holy God where he heals us from our sins, where he removes the guilt, and then he empowers us and sends us out for the work. And so we must not get stuck where the scriptures become a destination. The scriptures are a stepping stone into the presence of God. We must diligently study the scriptures and come to Jesus to have life. And as we know the scriptures, it lays a foundation to be aware and sensitive to Jesus at work in our life, to God at work in our life through the Holy Spirit. But we must come to him so that holiness is not stuck in a book, so that holiness is not a list of virtues that we are trying to outwork by ourselves, but holiness is God with us, shining through us as he transforms us. And that brings us to the next part of that scripture, which is the place that we should rest and focus our mind. Be holy because I am holy. And that changes everything. There's another place that Jesus says something very similar, again in the Sermon on the Mount. He says, be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Talk about pressure. And this is kind of another word to describe holy, perfect. Be perfect. And that's when we start to grasp the magnitude of what we are dealing with here. That is why it is so crucial that we understand that holiness is who God is. God is holy. God is perfect. It is who he is. Therefore, all of who he is, his purposes, his plans, why he does things, his character is all captured under the banner of holiness. Who God is different to the world that is around us. That is who he is. It is all of who he is. Be holy. Be different to the world around you because he is and you are his children. You are called into the inheritance of the kingdom of God, which is actually called into an inheritance of holiness. Holiness is not something that is an obligation. It's like a side project in the Christian walk. It is our destination because God is holiness. That is who we love and desire. Therefore, it is actually accurate to say that we should be loving and desiring holiness. It's not a side project. I'll tick this box so that I can spend some time with God. I will chase after holiness because chasing after holiness is chasing after him. I will be holy because that is how I shine. Therefore, the only way to know holiness is to know God. The only way to be holy is to be transformed into the image of God because he is holy. And the only way that we can be transformed into the image of God is when a holy God takes over our life. It is not a work that we can do, but it is a work that we can surrender to. It is not a destination that we can get to, but Christ has opened up the way. It is not a side project. It is everything because holiness is who he is. So therefore, there needs to be an awakening of the desire for holiness in all of our lives. There needs to be a personal encounter with holiness so that we desire, long for, and are drawn close to it. In another place it says this, even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their hearts. But when anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. I love how Andrew's talking about the fact that we are created in the image of God this morning. What a wonderful thing to reflect on. To be created in the image of God is also to be created in the image of holiness. And so we start to think about this and like, what's going on? And so we start to realize that this is actually a recreation, it's a restoration, it's a reconciliation, it's a new birth. We are coming back to that place where the Lord is restoring us as image bearers. He is restoring us to present his image to this world. And that can only happen when we come to him. And he does that work in us. We can know it. We can understand it. We can create a list about it. But it's only when we encounter him that he will do that work. And then we will shine. Because as he takes over our life, then we shine. He is the light. Then we become a city on a hill. Then we become the salt in the meal. Then we become distinct the fruit will be visible to the people around us. We are becoming holy because our holy God has taken over our life. Do you want God? Do you love God? Do you want to draw close to Him? Well, then you will long and desire holiness. Let me read one more time the scripture from 1 Peter. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Do not conform to the evil desires. Rather, desire holiness. As God's children, we need to desire holiness. I'd go as far as saying that if we don't have a desire for holiness, what's going on? Our relationship with the Lord, with our relationship with the Holy God, has to awaken a desire for holiness. And in some respects, you could say that a desire for holiness is almost, it's like a posture, it's like a position, it's like God's over there, and it's like a desire for holiness is almost like a permanent state of repentance where you've turned around and you're like, I want you. I want to honor you. I want to be where you are. Does that make sense? And so desiring holiness, again, just has to get to the very root of what it means to know the Lord and be with Him. Because the world doesn't desire holiness, and so it's going that way. So there has to be an awakening of a desire for holiness. And it talks about take up your cross and follow me daily. And so it needs to be a permanent posture of desiring holiness, becoming more like Him, keeping in step with the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to take over our life, to expose the reality of the condition of our heart, to not minimize it, and to become desperate for the Lord and His work in us. And so there has to be an awakening of the desire for holiness. And whether you are a new believer or someone who's been walking with the Lord since the 1930s, there is always a daily journey of being with the Lord, walking through new situations, walking through new terrain. Our dependence on our holy God, our dependence on the Holy Spirit to anchor us and hold us in His ways never goes away. It is a permanent posture of desperation and dependence of walking with Him. And it's worth considering that even in the journey of faith with the Lord, there are sometimes different seasons of work that He does, different seasons of purification and holiness. And it's always worth being ready for the next work that He wants to do in us as an individual or in us as a community. There's a couple of examples in the scriptures that have caught my attention over the years, and it's almost, it draws attention to the fact that there's these rounds of preparation at unexpected times. The first is this, the parable of the 10 virgins. So you've got 10 virgins waiting for the return of the groom. 5 are wise and they're ready and they've got oil in their lamps. Put your hands up if you know what I'm talking about. Got a glimpse of it. You know, so they're ready. They're ready. But then the cry goes out, and then they have to trim their wicks of their lamps. And so what stood out to me one day was actually, they're ready, but there was still this last final round of preparation just when the cry went out for the groom. So they trimmed their lamps. So they, if you've got a lamp, you have to blow your light out, trim the wick, and then light it off the person who's beside you. Okay? And the purpose of that is it kind of makes the flame pure and not smoky and bright. And so it's almost like there's this final round of preparation, even though they were ready. And yet she can't do it alone. You can't blow your flame out, trim the wick, and light it again unless you've got a friend there who's also got a light to then relight your lamp. Does that make sense? And so then you take turns, you do that. So it's this beautiful picture that, you know, you may be ready. You may have been walking with the Lord all your life, but don't be hardened to the fact that there can be another round of preparation for what's about to come in front of us. Does that make sense? There are deeper works of holiness. There are deeper works of understanding of who God is. We should not say that we've got to the end of that. We should be ready for what is next. And that work is not going to happen in isolation, because the work happens in community. And that work of trimming your wick and making sure that it's a pure flame that is not smoking can only be done together. Amen? It will happen together. There's this another moment in the, when the Israelites are heading into the promised land, and the generation crosses the Jordan. They're about to go through and take Jericho, and then the Lord says, I'm going to circumcise everyone who was not circumcised in the desert. And it's this moment of what? They're about to go into this time of great victory. Everything's been mobilized and ramped up, and then the Lord says, there's a work I need to do right now that hadn't been done before. Yeah, and he's like, this is the time. And at that point, it's like, man, now this is a strange time to do this just before, you know, this actually leads us in a position of being quite vulnerable and not ready to take Jericho. But the Lord said, no, this is the time. And so sometimes there's a work that God needs to do in the community that hasn't been done before. Sometimes there's a work that God needs to do in his people because previously it wasn't the right time to do it, but it is now. And sometimes that work, you kind of look at it and go, why is this happening now? But actually, it's just before great victory. You know, the work is like, what are you doing? We don't need any more preparation. And it's like, no, this is preparation just before great victory. And so we have to be careful that we don't misread the work that God's doing in our life or in our community and go, oh man, we don't need this, when actually we do. And actually, sometimes it's preparing us for something quite wonderful. We're just not aware of that. So in the coming week, we are really going to go deep exploring holiness, that God is holy, and that we are called to holiness. And we have the joy of, as a community, sharing in this. So next week, Murray's going to be talking about the habits that we practice. And you know, the habits that we practice is like scaffolding for a building. It's not the building. You know, the habits that we practice facilitate the building of a holy life. And then after that, we have Toby and Irina, who are going to be talking about the community that we're part of. And you know, I've often found that God purposely gives something that I need to somebody else. Sometimes it's like, why are you doing that? Why don't you just give it to me? Why do I have to? And he purposely does that so that we have to come into community and into relationship to receive everything God has for us. Does that make sense? It's not just random that someone else has something that you need. God distributes his gifts and his resources across the body of Christ, so it's only together that we can receive it. And so God will give the building materials for holiness to other people, so that you can only come into relationship to receive them. And then after that, we're going to finish off, and Caleb's going to be talking about the Holy Spirit dwelling in us. And let's just sum it up like this. Holy Spirit's the builder. We're the building project. Okay? And so we have this awesome journey with holiness in front of us. So let's go there as a community. Let's be open that the Lord might want to go deeper in places that we haven't gone before. Not because the journey and the pilgrimage has been wrong, but just because God decides now's the time. And let's be open to supporting each other in that journey, because holiness is not an individual project. It is something that can only be outworked in community and together. So let's support each other, and let's show the grace and the mercy that Jesus has shown us, and let's use the gifts and the tools that God has given us to lead people into an encounter with God so that we can come face to face with the holy God. So we can be overwhelmed by the condition of our heart and why we need a Savior every day. And so the Lord can wash our feet of today's sins. Yes, we've had a bath. We've been washed clean by Jesus. But each day we need to come to him for him to wash our feet for today's sins. We get dirty as we walk around. Sometimes we make mistakes. Our Father who is in heaven, holy be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our sins, my sins, as we forgive those who have sinned against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. The Lord's Prayer is a cry for holiness. It is, holy be your name. It is a declaration of who he is. It is a cry and a desire for holiness in our life, that your will be done in our life, that we will be distinct. It is a recognition that we are in a world where there is an evil one who is trying to lead us down a pathway that is not holy. So we are saying, protect us from that. We will resist the devil and he will flee from us. So let's finish off today, as we talked about at the beginning, which is we need to encounter a holy God. We need him to show the condition of our heart. We need to be in his presence to truly understand these truths that he has given us. And we can always go deeper, even if we have been walking with him for a long time. There is always more. So we're going to finish this with a time of actually just personally seeking and praying where you're seated. And then the worship band's going to come up and sing, and that's such a good song. I love it. Oh, Lord, I need you. Oh, I need you. Oh, I need you. And so we're going to finish with a song of worship, but we're actually just going to have a time of prayer. And the prayer is you and God. Maybe it's just, Lord, I just want an awakening of a desire for holiness. I don't know where that prayer starts for you. Maybe already you feel convicted and you're aware that there are areas of your life that are so outside of God's plans and that you need to come to him in forgiveness. You know what? There's nothing that you have done or will do that can separate you from the love of Christ. He will forgive you. He will set you free from whatever your battlefields are. He will purify you. He wants to. But you just need to turn to him. He's there. He is waiting to do that work. So let's pray. Let's seek him where you are. You're allowed to move from your seat if you want to find a space. You're allowed to move from your seat if you feel like it, if physically moving and demonstrating a response to the Lord is helpful for you. You know, sometimes that is. You know, sometimes people like to kind of, you know, raise their hands or fall on the floor. Whatever is helpful for you in your response to the Lord. Don't feel stuck where you are. So we'll pray. The worship band will come up and eventually we'll start singing. So Lord, lead us. Each of us, yes, we are together, but you know the condition of each of our hearts. So we come to you. We want to encounter you and truly know your holiness and who we are. Awaken in us an understanding that is more than we have had before. We recognize that each of us has a different understanding. So I pray that together you awaken something that is deeper and wider than we have ever experienced. Lead us, Lord. We are here to seek you.